get your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 11. It's where I'm going to be. I didn't preach last week, the 10:45 service, and I preached a message for the 9 o'clock service about how to define your circle. And whether, guys, you realize or not, we're on Facebook Live right now, and you can go on our Facebook page and watch that or go to our website. I think it would be good for you to define your circle to get a full perspective of life. But today, I'm going to show you how to move from cycles to systems. A cycle is something that you're stuck in and you don't come out, and you're frustrated because you know there's more, but you can't get more out of you. A system is what produces. A system is what you see McDonald's. Anybody like a Big Mac in here? They got a triple, some kind of extra Big Mac going on right now. Like, I ain't tried it out yet, but I think I will. But here's the thing. A Big Mac on Church Street in Shelbyville is the same as a Big Mac on Madison Street, Church Street in Murfreesboro, the same as a Big Mac on Madison Street in Shelbyville, because they work the same system. A system produces something. And I want to show you how to work in a system that breaks cycles in your life. A cycle is designed to keep you stuck. For me personally, all of us have a cycle. I'm going to have you write something down in a moment. My cycle is fear. The thing that in my life that I struggle with is fear. So fear has its way. It tried to work in my mind before I came out here today. Fear tells you all these kind of things. Fear makes up stuff and it tells your story. It's false evidence of being real. That's my cycle, and it'll keep me stuck. All of us, you in here, you got a cycle. It's anger. It could be lust. It could be procrastination. It could be petty. Some people are anointed to be petty. You ever seen? Y'all know them. Yeah. There's a cycle that has you stuck. The cycle keeps you just like the arrows here. It keeps you going round and round. You do good for a minute. Things progress. Gets bad, and you come back, and it's in a cycle. A system produces, and I want to show you how to get to a system. Is that all right? First, let me tell you how to break the cycle, and let me tell you where it came from. I was talking to a gentleman who runs a halfway house for men who have struggled with alcohol and drug addiction. You may never experience that, but you're going to pull from the story like I did. Mm-hmm. He was telling me the story of a wife and a husband who was sitting in front of him. They're good now, but they were not good years ago. The husband had a problem. He had a drug addiction. And she described the cycle that they went through before she put him out. She put him out, he hit rock bottom, got saved, and he back home, and they're doing fine now. But the cycle will hit home to you, and I want to show you how it works. The guy was not only had a drug problem, but he had a controlling, an addiction problem. He controlled her, he was mean, he would be mean to her. And whenever she would try to address his issue, he would deflect his problem onto her to make it seem like she was crazy. People who have problems normally keep you away from their problems by creating problems in your life. So he was mean to her. He was mean to her. He was manipulative. He was controlling. He belittled her. He made her think something was wrong with her. And she went through all, and then she would get to a point where she got mad at him. She got mad and said, I'm not taking this anymore. You've got to go. We're going to go see somebody. And as soon as she said, we're going to go see somebody, he got real nice. He started buying stuff. He started treating her nice. He started doing nice things for her. And the cycle. And she said, oh, I can get used to this. And he would be nice to her, and it would feel good for a while. And then it would go right back to that mean, controlling self. Then she would say, we're not doing this again. Instead of getting nice, he then turned to self-harm. I'm going to hurt myself. If you leave me, I'm going to kill myself. I don't know what's going to happen to me. You're the reason why I'm doing so good where I am at this point in life right now. And he started playing these mind games on her. And she was like, oh, my God, if I leave him, what's going to happen to him? I don't want his life to fall apart. We've been through so much. And right back in the cycle. And then he would go revert right back to being mean. This went on, she said, for years. And she finally said, I'm tired of it. He came home one day, and she had all of his stuff packed and sitting on the front porch. She ain't just taking it and just throw it out in the street and stuff like that, set it on fire. But she put it all out. She put it on the front porch. But here's the thing. It's a cycle. And we've been through cycles. People go through them all the time. Your cycle may be procrastination, and you get tired of being broke. And income tax season comes. You know, you can tell when income tax season comes. Folks get real happy. Just stuff show up. New Jordans and everything. And then all kind of stuff. Rims, all kind of stuff. People don't even work. Got big refund checks coming back. I'm like, oh, I don't understand that. They ain't got nothing to do with this sermon. But here's the thing. Cycles. Counsel people. And you hear, like, people hear sermons like, sex is wrong. Sex is a sin. Sex is not a sin. Sex outside of marriage is a sin. You get to think that sex is dirty. Sex is not dirty. It's a pleasurable thing. That's why people have so much of it. You know what I'm saying? It looks straight ahead of me. was talking to this, people get saved, and this young lady, she got saved and got convicted. Her and her boyfriend was sexually active, and she said, this is it. I'm not sleeping with you again. And she broke up with him. 6 months later, she had another boyfriend. Guess what happened? They got right back in the same cycle. Broke up. She got convicted in church. This is it. I'm not sleeping with you again. Next year, the same cycle. Two guys a year. Finally stopped and said, you could be breaking up with your husband. Instead of getting rid of him, get rid of the behavior you want to get rid of. Quit blaming him for something going on in you. You got to break. Am I making sense in here? You got to break the cycle. And I'm going to show you how to break the cycle. Then I'm going to show you how to create a system. You all right in here?
Yeah.
All right, here's how you break a cycle. Number one, you got to admit you have a problem. Whatever you blame or whoever you place the blame on, you put the responsibility. Is that Jesus? You put the responsibility of change. He calling on the main line. Yeah. Whatever you blame, you put the responsibility of change on. Regardless of what happened, you got to stay in the driver's seat and somebody say, own your problem. Say this with me. It's my problem, not your problem. Let's say it again. Say, it's my problem, not your problem. Let's say it again. It's my problem, not your problem. You know why many of us never solve our problem? Because we make our problem your problem, and we expect you to solve it, and we sit back and look at you like you're crazy when we're the one with the problem. You work with this all the time. This person shows up. The kids acted bad before they got there. Now they mad at everybody, and you just say, hello, what you looking at? Like, they make their problem your problem. Here's the thing. I struggle with fear. I told you that. I can't make my problem your problem. And I could get away with it in church, because in church, y'all caring, emotional environment. I could get up here and get to crying, and y'all pray for me. I'm just struggling today. Y'all form a little circle around me, anoint my head with oil. Y'all pray me back together. The reality is, that's not your problem. If you're going to pray for me, meet me back in my office. We'll get it together back there. When I stand behind this podium, this hour, this 30 minutes that I preach to you is crucial. And I got to find a way of dealing with all my anger. I don't care if Barbara and I woke up arguing. We argue from the time we woke up to the time I got here. That's not your problem.
Right.
I can't get up here mad and upset. You know, we into it. She over there sitting there poking her lips out looking at me. And I'm preaching about her because I got the mic and I can talk about her. And she sit there looking. That's not what this moment is about. It's my problem, not your problem.
Yes, sir.
And all throughout your life, you are dealing with people who will not accept their problem. They make their problem your problem. And it convolutes the situation. And you can't even enjoy it because you don't know if you're going to go out, if they're going to get mad at somebody and cuss the server out. You don't know if y'all go to the mall, they're going to get into it with somebody at a parking spot because they won't own. Y'all right in here?
Yeah.
You got to own your problem. It's my problem, not your problem. The other thing, the second thing is this. You got to recognize the disruption the cycle is causing in your life.
Uh-huh.
At some point, you got to realize what's miserable about a cycle is not necessarily while you're in it. It's looking at seeing what it's robbed you from. Fears robbed me of a whole lot of stuff. Some people have all kinds of fears. Some of you won't get on airplanes and fly, and people fly every day. You're scared of heights. You're scared of all kinds of things, and it's robbing you of opportunities. When it robbed you of opportunities, you finally got to take a step back and say, God has great things for me, and whatever this cycle is, it has robbed me of relationships. Some of you can't trust nobody, and it's robbed you of good people, and you end up just trusting the person that just sticks around the longest. Well, they stuck around. I might as well trust them. And there are good people that you run off because you have your, you make sense here?
Yeah.
You have your guards up. Number one, admit you have a problem. Number two, recognize the disruption the pattern is causing. Number three, realize you can't stop it, even though you will eventually stop it. All the human effort in the world, we have tried it. And if you could, you would have stopped it by now. I went to a hospital and prayed for somebody once, and they had a situation going on. And when I got finished praying, we both looked at each other. I said, you know what you got to stop doing now. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, you put her right back in works. If she could have stopped what was causing this, she would have stopped it a long time ago. You got to hook her up to my power and to my ability to change things. And that's what causes things to change. Here's what I told you guys about fear. I thought about something. The way God helps me get over fear, even to preach this with you right now, is he focuses me on what he wants to do. Last night, we had this incredible celebration of love. Barbara even got me out there to dance. Somebody said, I saw you out there dancing. I said, I got two steps. And when they were over with, I didn't have no more. I was out there looking crazy. That's all I had. But in my mind, socially, so many things. For you to walk in a room socially, you can walk in and you can speak to anybody. I'm overthinking everything. What do I do? Am I going to say this right? Am I joke going to be funny? Are they going to accept me? What are they going to think about me? Am I dressed right? Am I, you know, all these things. I got a big nose. I got a gap in my, all these things go through my head when I walk at the, you walk in fine and you don't think about a thing in the world. I'm thinking, am I going to sound dumb? Am I going to be able to make sense of stuff? All these things go through my head. And normally in a situation like last night, I would go sit in a corner. Barbara, tell you, I would just sit there and we talk just because you come over in the corner where I am. That's just, I said, that's my personality. She talks to everybody. And I'm like, can we go now? She's like, she's still out running around talking. But when I focus on what I'm called to do, last night when I can walk in a room, even now, when I speak your hand, when I'm sitting, when you walk up, every person I speak, God speaks to me about. He said, you know how much I love them? Last night we were at the thing, God began to say, you know how much I want to bless their life? You know how much I see that couple? I love seeing them dance together. I love seeing them have fun together. Yeah. I forgot all about being afraid. And I focused on what God wanted me to do. Do you know how God stops the cycle in your life? You quit focusing on what you're going through, and you look to what you're going to. And when you forget about the surroundings and you focus about where God wants to take you, the cycle will be broken and you won't even realize that it's broken. Because watch this, if you could stop it, you would. But with the divine help of God, supernatural things. I'm the natural, he's the super, and when his super sits on my natural, incredible things happen. I'm an ordinary person, and he's extra, and when his extra gets on my ordinary, we become extraordinary, supernatural people. I saw the Black Panther this weekend, y'all. I did. And I feel like I got superpowers sitting up here right now. And when you walk in your call, you can feel the same way. Because realize this, you can't stop it by yourself, but the help of God you can. And here's the next thing is this. You got to break up familiarity. This is a huge one, and I want you to see this. In order to stop the cycle, you got to break up familiarity. Cycles take effect because of what you go through, develops an unhealthy pattern and attachment in your life. Let me give you an example. You say someone is raped by a family member or something in a situation that should not have happened. It opens up something inside of you, and you're torn because sex feels good, but it happened in a bad environment. So it can open up an unhealthy cycle, and you can identify yourself as something that you're not, or that, like, you become very promiscuous or certain things like that as a result of what happened to you. It shapes your personality. Here's certain things that have happened to me over the course of time. I struggle with fear. So fear told me, okay, you can't do certain things, that you, certain things would never happen in your life. I don't like out of pressure. I didn't used to like pressure. So I would take jobs where I didn't have to be in front of people and that I wouldn't have pressure. And Lord, the Lord called me to be a preacher, a pastor on top of that, and to start a church with nobody, with no building. We started in the Quality Inn. That was the first service. Went to the Boys and Girls Club. We met in Christiana. We started with nothing. And the Lord will push you out of what's familiar. I told myself this was my personality. I couldn't be a salesman. I couldn't do this, when the reality is that was a lie. Many of us have accepted things about ourselves that are not true. Satan told you that you're guarded. You don't need a lot of people. You need people in your life. He will tell you, no, you know, this is just the way you are. You will accept dysfunction as normal and call it your personality. But you got to break that cycle. You are not that mean. You can smile. Open up your mouth and smile. You can talk to people. Yes. You're not naturally suspicious. I don't know about folks. Well, you keep trusting the wrong people. That's why you look like that. Okay. And you got to learn. Watch this. You got to break the cycle of familiarity. I told you, I'm introverted, and had a hard time with pressure. And it told me about my life. Instead of dealing with it, I conformed to it. And here's what happens when you conform to your experience. I would be sitting in a cubicle somewhere miserable, dreaming about life outside of here, because that was the role. Ain't nothing wrong. I used to love crunching numbers and sitting right there. But there's something wrong when you accept an experience that's not who God called you to be. And God wants to break that familiarity. A lot of things you call your personality, that's not your personality. That's your experience. And I never compromise the integrity of my purpose for any experience. I'm greater than anything I've ever experienced. And I'm going to break that cycle by admitting I have a problem. I'm going to recognize it. What does this rob me of? The disruption. Then I'm going to say, I can't stop this by myself, but you're going to help me stop it when I focus on what I'm going to, not what I'm going through. And then I'm going to break up familiarity. Here's my transition point. You will stay stuck right here. You'll admit you have a problem. You'll recognize the disruption. You'll realize you can't stop without his help, and you'll break up from it, but you'll go right back to the problem if you don't learn how to create a system. What happens is you end up having a pause instead of a breakthrough. Is anybody ready to switch from pausing to breakthrough? You're ready for stopping temporary relief? My God, I can pay all my bills now. My God, I got through the day without cussing somebody out. We done got along all week long. God, just let it be another good week. Are you tired of surviving and you're ready to start overcoming? Yes. Somebody say, I'm going to break the cycle. Somebody say, I'm going to break the cycle. Here's how you break the cycle. There's a scripture that I'm going to show you that's going to be the foundation. It's Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And it reads this, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. That is the foundation scripture of our church. This right here. It said, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what we got, believers' faith fellowship. In order to come to God, you got to believe that he's God. And then you come to him in faith, believers' faith, and then we're a group of people who believe and have faith who come together in fellowship. That's the foundational scripture of the church. But for the purpose of this, here's how you break the cycle. You must believe that he's God, and then you must come to him because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Here's the system you're going to adapt in your life. Number one, you got to admit you need help. He said, you must first come to God. It's one thing to say you have a problem. He said, y'all, you know I got an anger problem. If you punch him in the mouth, that ain't stopping nothing. You just told him you're going to punch him before you hit him. I mean, you're just admitting you have a problem. It's not enough. It's serious. It's not enough to admit you have a problem. You got to admit you need help. You all right? You got to admit you need help because here's the thing. You got two choices when it comes to help. You can either hit rock bottom or you can get a revelation. And I would love to tell you that rock bottom saves people's lives, but it don't. There are people who lose everything and then end up right back with everything because they can self-sabotage their own life. You say, man, I ain't got nowhere else to go but up. But yeah, you can go right back down just like you went up. Rock bottom doesn't save you. And many people have change. I read about people having wrecks and they're texting. And then I hear about it and I'll stop. I'll drive with both my hands on the steering wheel. I'm driving real good. And then I'll slip back. Next thing I know, I'm texting and driving. And Isaiah said, Daddy, you know you ain't supposed to be doing that. Shut up. I'm driving up here. Because when he gets 16 and 15 and he starts driving, I'm going to tell him. He's going to say, well, you do it. Yeah, y'all got kids. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So I got to admit I need help. And I'm going to either hit rock bottom or I'm going to get a revelation. When you come to God, he gives you a revelation of why you need help. Here's what happens. If you struggle with being moody, I don't know why I picked that one. God will give you a revelation on how your attitude is affecting your entire house. You don't realize it, but when you walk in, you got people hiding in corners. You got people taking nerve medicine because they know you on the way home. They doing stuff. You know what I'm talking about? They cleaning stuff, doing stuff they don't normally do. Because, oh, Lord, he coming home, she coming home. You walk in there, they know. You be like James Evans fussing all the time. You got to realize God gives you a revelation on what your dysfunction, how it's impacting the people around you. For guys, you know what God does? And he helps you with your heart. He'll show you how the error of your ways. It didn't hit me until you see children whose mothers have been done wrong by men. And you see the dysfunction. And that'll break that player inside of you. Because, man, I could have been the one to hurt his mother and the reason why he's sitting in this situation that he's in right now. God gives you a revelation, not to make you hate yourself and go jump off a bridge or no water, but to show you the impact of your, you know, that's a hard fall right there. To show you the impact. Can I tell you this too? And I'm sorry. Whenever God gives you a revelation, it's not so you hate yourself. Because God loves you. He gives you a revelation so you change. If you're controlling, God will show you what you're controlling. Can't nobody have fun around you. Because if it don't go your way, you're going to go off. It's got to be. He will show you a revelation of what you're doing, how it impacts people, and he showed you how to change it. So number one, you got to admit you need help by coming to God. The next thing is this, you got to get help from the right source. It said you must believe that he's God. It's not enough to come to him, but you got to listen. Do you hate that person to come to you for advice? And you spend an hour talking to them, and they go do the exact opposite of what you told them. And you ask, why'd you waste my time? You were going to do what you wanted to do anyway. When you come to God, he says, I want you to try what I'm saying. I pursue God because he's my help. I seek him for direction. Many people don't even realize, but they go to the wrong source. I think Mark Zuckerberg ought to start charging a counseling fee every day to some people. Because people haven't realized, you ever seen people just put all their business out there? And then when people respond, that's where you get your counseling session from. It's biblical. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you'll be healed. It's biblical that when you get things off of you and you talk to somebody, they can then pour into your life. Healing happens when you do it. But here's the challenge. When you do it in isolated situations, you can discard what you don't want to hear, and you can only listen to what you want to hear. And that's those who co-sign with how you feel and not tell you what you need to have happen in your life. When you come to God for help, God always gives you the help that you need. He will tell you, this is what you need to do. This is how things need to happen. So I need to go to the right source for help. I need to admit that I need help. And the next thing is this, and I'm almost through. You got to seek God for deliverance. The Bible says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you seek God, you can't do it half-heartedly. You got to go to it with everything that you got. And here's the thing about deliverance. Deliverance is not something that just happened once. I came up in a Pentecostal environment. So we would lay hands on people and the devil would be cast out, the stronghold would be broken. That is a fine experience. But deliverance is not just that moment, because I have had hands laid on me and I have just certain things I struggle with. So say for instance, I had hands laid on me, God, I'm tired of struggling with pornography, I'm tired of struggling with this, and for a whole month I'm good. And then I go right back to that same thing because I didn't realize deliverance is a lifestyle. Anybody ever come home and there's a packet sitting on your porch and you didn't order it, but you're married, so you know it came from somewhere? So here's what happens. You know, it ain't anthrax, I'm threatening your house. I do the same thing too. I ain't talking about y'all. Think I'm talking about her. My neighbors get packed boxes all the time. Y'all talking about her. But here's the thing, Cicely. Whenever you order something, what do you do? She's going to get me back. She get up here to preach. You go to websites that say you go to Amazon. You select what you want. You put it in your cart. You pay for it. They tell you what kind of shipping do you want. Do you want regular? Do you want expedited? Do you know that your faith controls the shipping? The level of the strength of your faith determines how quick and how readily things get to you. You have weak faith that takes a long time. You have strong faith that gets there right in a hurry because you get your will out of the way and say, God, show up in my life. You know that's how it happens? So watch this. And it shows up, and then it's there. Delivery is a from to a to. And many of us have missed it because we know where we come from. We can testify all day long. Thank the Lord for saving me, sanctifying me, and filling me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. I thank God that he delivered me from this and he delivered me from that. But here's the challenge. I know what he delivered you from, but what did he deliver you to? And if nobody is here to sign for the package, they always send the package back to sender. And the reason why many of us keep going through cycles is that we're not in our to place to figure out what God wants us to be. So we always revert back to what we're used to doing. What's the gap between my from and my to? It's not another church service. It's not another song. It's not another message. It's you believing God for what he wants to do in your life and you showing up where God wants you to be. Somebody say, I will not get stuck in transit. Because watch this. You ever notice this about the delivery people? They tell you, we got two more attempts. And if you don't pick it up, we're going back to sender. God's knocking on your door every day saying, will you accept my best? But God, you don't know about this. Will you accept what I have for you? He's knocking at your door. He's leaving notices at your door. He's giving you sign after sign. But you got to sign for it by faith. To not come from something, but to go to something. My question is, I know what God delivered you from. Thank God he delivered. That was 20 years ago. But who are you right now? I ain't Janet Jackson. I remember Janet back in the day. What has he done for you lately? I know he saved you, sanctified you, and picked you up from the muck and miry clay. He delivered you and set your feet on a rock to stay. But what has he done for you this week? How have you seen the same God that can deliver you from drugs is the same God that can get you out of debt and fix your attitude? Deliverance is not just this one-time event. Because if you grew up in church like me, I used to get real saved after revival. Throw away all my mixtapes. I threw away the two short takes. Mom and dad didn't know I had them. I threw away all the NWA and I threw away all that stuff. I couldn't buy them to my cousin. What Charles said? Charles used to record them for me and make them for me. And I had them, I listened to them on trips to play basketball. I said, I'm tired of this. I'm breaking up all my tapes. A month later, I'm saying, hey, man, can you make me another one? Because that's a one-time event. Yes, sir. But what God wants to change is your heart to take you from to break the cycle. And then you say, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God always rewards you. You'll never be stuck in a cycle. Admit you need help. Get help from the right source. Seek deliverance. Remember, from to. Coach, I'm going to be good this week. Coach Chestnut, I'm going to get it together. I'm going to work hard. I ain't going to have no attitude. Good, but are you going to execute these plays? How are you going to respond next time I get on to you? Are you going to go right back here? Oh, and he tripping. Coach tripping. I'm best player on this team. He got me sitting on the bench. I wouldn't play you either if you're going to disrupt the chemistry of the team. And that's the same way with God. You got to go from to, and God always rewards it when you do it his way. Stand to your feet. Yeah.